Well, praise the Lord. I believe that God always has something for us if we have an open and willing heart. And just trust the Lord speak to you tonight. Good to see you tonight. Come to worship on a Wednesday night. And are you ready?
Amen.
I believe in a life-changing Christianity. I don't believe in old dead religion. I believe in a really practical Christianity, something that impacts and affects our everyday life all the time. And tonight, I want to talk to you about something that I believe is really important. If you're going to live as a Christian every day, then we need to get this part. We need to honor God in our work. You know, for a lot of us, work is the time that maybe we are around lost people. Now, for me personally, that's not necessarily the case. You know, there's other times that I am around lost people more than I am at work. But for most of us that work in a secular job, that's the time, the opportunity where we can really minister to those that don't know the Lord. And so it's so important that in the workplace, a Christian honors the Lord. This message really ought to speak to all of us, but it doesn't matter if you know, what kind of work you do, whether you're paid or volunteer or self-employed, or you work for a big company, or listen, if you're a student tonight and you say, that's my job right now as I'm going to school, well, this applies to you also, but it even applies to those that, you know, you're doing housework, the stay-at-home mom or dad. Your work is a great place for you to honor God. There may not be as many people that see your work, but you can really have a great impact on those in your house. So how can we honor God in the workplace? We're going to honor God in the workplace. You first have to allow him in the workplace.
Right.
That's not real complicated, but it's something that I think we need to intentionally do. We need to take the Lord with us into the workplace. We just need to plan on God showing up in our workplace. So I want to give you this from the scripture, Luke chapter 5. We're going to begin from verse 1. It says, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the multitudes from the boat." There isn't much made about this, but there's something really significant that happened here in this third verse. Jesus gets into Simon's boat and he asks him to put out a little from the shore. Simon allows Jesus to use his boat as it were a platform for him to minister to the people. This boat, think about this now, this boat was Simon's workplace. This is where he made his living. And you see, we just kind of read over these stories sometimes. We don't really think about the details. We don't really think about these being real people living real lives, real life situations, but we should. And the reason this is important is because you need to realize that just as much as Simon allowed Jesus a place in his boat, in his business, we need to allow Jesus a place in our work, whatever that might be. We need to realize that just as much as Jesus used Simon's boat, he can use your place of work and whatever it is that you do if we just let him show up. And if we don't allow Jesus in our workplace, we are not honoring the Lord. You know what? Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." And so I want to challenge you, encourage you tonight, right here from the beginning of this message. It's so important that you give the Lord place in your work. Now, if you work from home, I hope that's easy for you. You make your house a house of prayer. I mean, if you're working in your home, and you know what? More and more people today, even if you're working for a company, they're able to work from home. And you know what? It ought to be that you really make that a time, a place where you can worship, you can pray, you can sing and just glorify God. He said, even while you're doing the laundry, that's right. When you're doing the yard, that's right. Man, that you glorify God, that you worship Him and honor Him in your work. But can you just imagine Peter? He probably felt pretty special that Jesus used his boat. Don't you think? Shouldn't we? Shouldn't we feel special that the Lord would show up in our workplace, whatever that might be? A lot of Christians, they would have said, now, Lord, business is business. We need to keep that down at the church. In fact, I know some people feel that way. I've had people tell me stuff like that before. You know, business is business. You know, keep that stuff for the church. But I'm telling you, we need to open up that place for the Lord and let Him have the opportunity to work in and through our lives in the workplace. Such a big part of our lives. And you know, one of the things that I have seen and heard again and again and again is that many, many people don't really like work. It's a four-letter word, right? And they don't like it. They don't enjoy it. They just live for the weekend. You know what that means? They're dead the rest of the week. I mean, if you only live for the weekend, you're dead the rest of the week. And a lot of people, they just see, you know, work is just a way to get money. That's all it is, you know. Can't wait till someday I can retire. I want to tell you, if you get a hold of these truths tonight, it will change that. Just start from right here. If you're going to honor the Lord, you're bringing Jesus with you to work, Jesus is with you while you're working, you have got a big head start already on learning to enjoy working. If you get a hold of this message tonight, I really believe that it'll help you. You may say, well, you know what? This isn't my dream job. I want to be doing something else for a living. But it will help you to get to the place where you still find joy in your work. Jesus, you're welcome in my boat anytime. Now get in, sit down, and be quiet. I got work to do. No, that's not the way it works, does it? You know, some people, they don't mind Jesus being a part as long as he'll be the silent partner. You know, hey, I'm talking, I know, I hear you. I understand that in a lot of the business world, you know, you just got to leave Jesus out of it because he might offend somebody. Somebody might not like it. Oh, but somebody's life might be changed. But, you know, technically, this boat wasn't Peter's. Did y'all? Oh. The scripture says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In the NIV, it says it this way, 1 Corinthians 10:26. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. You know what that means? That means this little stand I'm using right here, this is the Lord's. That chair you're sitting on, did you know that's the Lord's? Well, it especially is the Lord's because this is the Lord's house, right? But you realize that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, everything in it. You just got that stuff on loan. And that job you have, you need to realize that everything there actually belongs to the Lord ultimately. So I call it Peter's boat, but it wasn't really Peter's boat. It was really Jesus' boat. Lord, this is your house. This is your car. This is the job you've provided me, and you can use any of it for whatever purpose that you desire. So many that need the Lord, they need to know the Lord is real. And just sometimes, you know, just the simple act of saying to somebody, can I pray with you? Somebody's going through a struggle, a battle, a loved one that's ill, and you say, can I pray with you? And did you know there's not very many people that turn that request or that offer away when it's done in sincerity? I'm just telling you, there are a lot of people in our world that are ready for somebody to minister to them and to share Jesus with them. And so often in the workplace, those opportunities arise and they get missed. So we need to be careful to allow Jesus every day into the workplace. I remember many, many years ago, I've been in full-time ministry pretty much for the last 40 years, but many, many years ago, I worked as a bank teller and had some interesting experiences, but when I worked in the drive-thru, the drive-thru was kind of different because the customers couldn't hear you unless you punched a button or whatever. And so a lot of the time we listened to the radio, and I would sneak over and turn it to the Christian station, and you know what? That was okay. And then I got bold and I started taking, back then it was, if you wanted to listen to a sermon, you had cassette tapes, right? And so I took a cassette tapes and a player and set it out, and I started playing a sermon while we're working. There was three of us in there. Well, the head teller comes over and she says, "They don't want to listen to that stuff." And she was I won't say what denomination, I'm going to be nice. Let's just say she was a religious person. She was a Christian. But here I am playing this, and there's a woman sitting next to me that she went to church when she was a little girl and hadn't been to church in like 30 years. And she says to that head teller, she says, "Yes, I do. I want to hear it." And I'm just telling you, after that, the Lord just gave me lots of opportunities to talk to those people about the Lord. It's amazing. Just something as simple as, when there's times when you get swamped in a drive-thru, and then there's times when you're sitting there with nothing to do. And so, some of them would pull out their Harlequins or their People magazine, and I would pull out my Bible. And you know what happens when you do that? Sooner or later, people are going to ask you questions. You don't even have to start the conversation. They'll start the conversation. They say, "Now, that kind of stuff can get you in trouble." That's right, it sure can. Because sooner or later, one of those religious people, they went to the boss and they said, "You need to tell him to quit talking about the Lord." And I want to tell you the truth, though. The Lord gave me opportunity after opportunity by people asking me. And I'm just telling you, if we honor God in the workplace, we have those opportunities. We just have to not fear, not be afraid. There's so much negative stuff being propagated about that, to the point where some young people think they can't carry a Bible to school or they can't pray at school. That is not true. That is not true. My wife taught public school for 7 years. She had a Bible on her desk every single day. My son was a band director only for 1 year. Jonathan, our youth pastor, he was a band director only for 1 year. And for that year, he had a Bible sitting on his desk every day. And you just don't know the impact that it might have on some people. Right. One day, a lady came to see him, and he was real busy, and he had to run out, take care of something. He comes back to his office, and she's sitting in there reading his Bible. I'm just telling you, you just don't know what an impact you might have. You just allow Jesus into the workplace. Don't be afraid to do that. But you got to have a willing heart. Back to Luke. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." You give him a little and he wants more. Some of us, maybe sometimes we wonder why God doesn't do more in our lives. Maybe it's because we don't give him the opportunity. But Simon allowed the Lord to use his boat to teach from. And now he's going to start telling Simon how to do his business. Let's go on out a little deeper and want you to let down your nets. Verse 5, Simon answered and said, "Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." These guys didn't have much success that night. I'm not much of a fisherman. I don't like to fish. I only like to catch. If I've fished all night, that would never happen to me. Because if I ain't caught something in the first hour and a half, I'm probably done. You know what I'm saying? But these guys, this was their livelihood. They'd done this all night and didn't catch anything. But here's what's really important. He says, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Just do what the Lord says. I mean, it's one thing, you know, to talk about the Lord a little bit at work. But then when the Lord starts telling you how to do your business, whoa, wait a minute now. Oh, yeah. It turned out pretty good for old Simon. Verse 6 and 7. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats, so they began to sink. What's the results of Jesus being in the workplace? Well, the first one's real obvious. There was a tremendous material blessing, so much so that Simon couldn't begin to contain it. He had to call for the other boats. But do you know that when this happened, Simon Peter didn't even say anything specifically about the catch. He didn't say, wow, this is awesome. We're going to make a lot of money today. That's not what he said. No, when he saw it, verse 8, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Here's what happened. You see, when this happened, Simon had a new revelation of Jesus. And when you get a fresh revelation of who he is, it'll show you who you are too. But I'm just telling you that he had a fresh revelation of the Lord, and that meant more to him. Realizing who this was meant far more to him than the money. And I'm just telling you that when you allow Jesus in the workplace, oh, what an opportunity, not only for somebody else to know the Lord, but for you to get to know the Lord in a different way, have a fresh revelation of the Lord. This shouldn't be, you know, we all know this is wrong when people relegate Jesus just to Sundays. But isn't it wrong to relegate Jesus to our home life and other places, but just not work? And so we need to intentionally do this, that we welcome the Lord to our work every day. One last thing I want to look at here from this passage, verses 9 through 11. It says, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, I don't think that this is a word from God for you to quit your job and go full-time in ministry. But what I do think is that there's a principle here that when we allow Jesus in the workplace, we allow him to work in and through our lives in the workplace, then there is a new and fresh opportunity. You just don't realize the doors that might open for you to begin to impact the lives of other people. I'm telling you, these guys, they had new meaning and purpose in their life. They were going to make a real difference in people's lives. They're going to make a difference in eternity. And I believe that happens for us when we allow Jesus in the workplace. Not just trying to make another day, another dollar, but really making a difference in the workplace. How did it start? He allowed Jesus in his work. And one of the men in the scripture that took the Lord to work with him was Daniel. Have you ever thought about the fact that Daniel had a government job? He worked for the king of Babylon. He held a high-level position in the government. And from the very beginning, when Daniel was first hired to work in the Babylonian government, he knew that he served the Lord, and the Lord worked through him, and God was honored in his life. There's a study of 40 high-profile leaders in the Bible, and in this study, they found that 75% never had a religious job. They didn't make their living from the ministry, and yet God used them in a powerful way. 75%. They weren't priests, they weren't pastors or missionaries. 75%. They didn't leave their business and go into what we called full-time ministry, and yet God used them mightily. And Daniel was one of those that, even though we regard him as a great man of God, and he was, listen, he worked for the king of Babylon. Now think about this. He worked for an ungodly, wicked man. And yet, he had such an impact that he not only impacted that whole kingdom, but we're still reading about him today. He is one of those great heroes of faith. There's times when he was persecuted, thrown into the lion's den, but God delivered him. And God was glorified in it all. And when Daniel got through all of that, he wrote a book about his time working in government, just like everybody else does. But he didn't write about all the nasty, trashy gossip. Instead, he wrote about all of the great miracles that God did and gave glory to God. It's the book of Daniel. You can read it. Amen? Amen. But to honor God in our work, we got to walk in integrity. When we live a life of integrity, being honest, working hard, doing what's right, holding to our convictions, it brings honor to God. See, when Israel was taken captive by Babylon, they chose the wisest, the most gifted, and they trained them for leadership. And Daniel was one of those. And they were to be fed the king's food and wine, but Daniel refused to eat the king's food or drink the king's wine. In Daniel 1:8, it says this, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. He purposed in his heart. He held to his convictions. It was integrity. And you see, this brought honor and glory to God. You know what? When the pressure is on, a lot of people, they just go with the flow. They just do like everybody else. You got to choose to honor God in those moments. In fact, I really believe that your character and integrity, that is one of the ways that you can truly honor God every day. And it makes you a standout. There's times when people will deceive and they'll twist just to make a sale. They'll say things that aren't really true just to make a sale. And they reason it, they rationalize it in their mind and say, it's just the way that you do this business. You know, and there's times when, you know, you're going out with the other people from work, or maybe you're talking to this company, you know, that you're trying to do business with, and he's having him a glass of this, and he's offering you a glass of this, and guess what? There's going to be this pressure. You just ought to go ahead. No big deal. Who's going to know? I'll tell you who's going to know. God's going to know first and foremost, but you're going to know. And you know what else? That person that's offering to you is going to know. You need to have the integrity to hold to your convictions and glorify and honor God. Amen. Oh, it might cost me. I want to tell you that in the end, it is God that rewards, it is God that promotes. You need to get your eyes off man. The fear of man is a trap. And that's exactly what that is. It's the fear of man. You see, we tell our young people, oh, now you don't give in to that peer pressure, but a lot of working adults give in to peer pressure when it involves the dollar. I got to move on. To honor God in our work, we need to always have a great attitude. This is big. We're going to stay here a while. Being a grump at work and complaining, giving half-hearted effort doesn't honor God. And I mentioned this earlier, but so many people unhappy at work. You know what? A lot of them are ungrateful. They don't feel like they're paid enough. They're asked to do too much. I deserve better. And you know what? Some of that might be true. I'm not here to dispute that tonight. What I'm here to tell you is that we're supposed to be thankful in everything. And that if you're being grumpy at work and unthankful, ungrateful, I'm telling you, it does not honor God. If we're going to honor God, we got to be different than that. We can't have that same old mentality that's so prevalent around us. You know, everybody else is griping. That just makes it all the more powerful when you honor God by having a great attitude. So we're going to keep looking at Daniel here, going to go to Daniel chapter 6 and read about one of his most famous experiences while he's working for the Babylonian government. Daniel 6, beginning in verse 1, it says, It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one. He's a big shot. That the satraps might give an account to them, so the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So first of all, he's in one of the top three spots, but the king is actually thinking about putting him over everything because of this excellent spirit. Now, we certainly know that we need the Holy Spirit in our life, but that's not exactly what it was talking about here. It was talking about Daniel's attitude. He had this excellent spirit. In everything he did his very best. In everything he did, he excelled. Everything he did prospered. It was blessed. He had an excellent spirit. He didn't just do enough to get by. An interesting thing here, the Hebrew word that's translated excellent, it literally means more than enough. And that's what Daniel did. More than enough. This is the theme of the day. You just do enough. In fact, sometimes when somebody does more than enough, other people get mad at them because it makes them look bad. Do it anyway. Oh, you'll make some enemies. I'm going to tell you, Daniel made some enemies because he did more than enough. But God will bless you, and it honors God when you do more than enough. That's a good attitude. Live in a generation of, it's amazing. Some people, they lazy. They'd just rather be lazy than do a good job. Philippians 2, 14 and 15 says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world." See, people complain all the time, complain about work, got a negative attitude. That's not my job. I don't want to do that. Why should I have to? I got a word for those people. Fired. If cleaning a toilet is beneath you, oh my goodness. My Savior, he washed dirty, stinking feet. But most people look at work as a necessary evil. 40 hours of their life every week, at least, might as well have a good attitude about it. You know, a sorry attitude, grumbling, complaining, hating on it, it just makes you miserable. But when you're grateful, when you're looking on the bright side, when you're thinking, you know what, the Lord's here with me while I'm doing this menial task that I'm not enjoying this, but you know what, me and the Lord, we're going to get through this. The best way to enjoy your work is to seek to honor God in your work. As I'm doing this, you know what? I'm going to be the very best ditch digger there is. Whatever it is. You know what? I'm just rolling out paint on this wall, but I'm going to do it to the very best of my ability. I'm doing this. I'm not just doing this for men. I'm not just doing this for a dollar. I'm doing this for the Lord. We're going to go to Colossians chapter 3, and this was written to bondservants, but it just speaks to us. It tells us what a great attitude at work should look like. It says, Colossians 3:22, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. You know what? Do what you're asked. If it's not against the law of God, it's not against the law of the land, then you do what you're asked. Thank you, brother. Not just when somebody's watching. Not with eye service as men pleasers. But in sincerity of heart. Men pleasers. Men pleasers. Nobody wants to be called a men pleaser. A men pleaser. But that's what it is when we only work hard when somebody's looking. No, we ought to do our very best every day because he's always looking. He says, in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Recent survey in the United States, 85% said they could work harder on the job. And most of them, more than half, claimed they could double their effectiveness if they wanted to. See, when you're a hard worker and you do your best for the Lord, you're doing it under the Lord, you are a standout. You are honoring God. And what a witness that is. You know, I think Christians ought to be known as the hardest workers, the most diligent workers. I mean, you look at the man Daniel, this excellent spirit. You see, when you got that excellent spirit, it makes you a standout. What a great opportunity for you to witness for the Lord. See, then when you start talking about the Lord, you know what people are going to do when you're the best worker, the hardest worker, the most productive worker? They're going to sit up and listen. But when you're sloughing off and you're griping like everybody else and complaining, you know what? They don't want to listen to you. Okay. See, I don't think we should be even average. I think we should seek to excel for the Lord. Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And I realize that this verse is primarily talking about our witness and testimony, but there's not anything that will add credibility to your witness and testimony in the workplace like being a good worker and having a good attitude in what you do. But in the workplace, character always shines. Oh, it's about to get ugly. So many lie. You know, they'll say, I did this, I did that, when they didn't. They call in sick when they're not. Just say you need a personal day. Don't lie. Gee whiz. Years ago, it's been long enough now I can tell this story. Years ago, I hired a guy to work at the church. And I don't know why, but I just asked. He got there before I did, which isn't hard. I'm not much of a morning person. And I said, when did you get here? Because he was there when I got there. And we're supposed to be there at 9. And he said, I got here at 7:30. It's his first day. And I thought, wow, 7:30. And I don't even know why. Because normally I would never do something like this, but I thought, that's amazing. That's weird. I just got to know. And we, at this time, this is long, long ago, we had a VHS camera recorder. We'd had so many break-ins at the church that we finally got some cameras. And I thought, I just want to see. He told me he got there at 7:30. He walked in at like 2 minutes till 9. I'm like, we hired this guy to be a minister. Why would he lie to me? I never confronted him. Never told it publicly except among a few friends. But I just thought, if somebody does this at the church, how often does this kind of baloney go on in the world? And I'll just tell you, you know, for those of you that think I'm harsh and mean, I showed the guy grace. I never confronted him about it. I just kind of pushed it aside. I thought, you know what? I'm just gonna see how this goes. And about a year later, after a year full of baloney, when I did let him go, you know, there were people that were hurt and mad at me. But I'm just saying, though, you know what? We ought to be above reproach. If we want to be a witness for the Lord, we want to make a difference for Jesus, we want our Christianity to be something more than a Sunday thing, then we need to honor the Lord in the workplace with integrity, honor the Lord in the workplace with a great attitude. Here it is in verse 23 of Colossians 3. Whatever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. See, it doesn't matter how meaningless, how unimportant you think a certain task is, you do it as unto the Lord. A Christian should always, always, always do their very best. Then in verse 24, he says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. See, ultimately, you're not just working for a dollar. No, as a child of God, ultimately, everything you do. How did he start this passage off back to 22? He's talking to bond servants. He's not talking to ministers. He's not talking to big shots at the company. He's talking to bond servants. And he says, everything you do it as unto the Lord. God is the Lord who is ultimately going to reward you. Verse 25, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. There is no partiality. There's a price to pay for being lazy. And there's a reward for giving your best. You know, I think Daniel gives us a little bit of a key. How can you always have a great attitude? What is the one thing that Daniel was the most known for? He prayed and gave thanks three times a day. That's what got him thrown into the lion's den, in case you didn't know that part of the story, but they made it against the law to pray, and Daniel continued in his integrity. He still prayed three times a day and gave thanks. And you know what? You pray before you go to work and give thanks. You stop at lunch and you pray and give thanks. And when you're done and the day is over, you pray and give thanks. I believe it'll help your attitude at work. It'll help you to keep the right attitude all the time. But to honor God, you have to always keep that good attitude, an excellent spirit. And to honor God in the workplace, give God the glory for your abilities and accomplishments, whatever they are. You see, it's easy for us to put spiritual things in a separate box. I mean, even in the kingdom now, I think there's a real temptation, a prideful temptation for ministers oftentimes, and lay people as well, to want to take too much credit when people get saved or lives are changed. That's God. And we can't do that without him. We just get to be a part of what he's doing. And what a wonderful blessing to be a part and to be used of God in some way. But God should get all of the glory. But then when it comes to secular or natural work and everyday kind of things, it's even so much more likely for us to just think, well, that's my strength and that's my know-how, and I did this and I did that. And you know what? If we're going to honor God in the workplace, then we need to give God the glory for all of the things that we accomplish. Yeah. You say, but I did it. You need to give God the glory for whatever it is. Listen, Daniel did this over and over and over. He gave God the glory. In Daniel 2:23, Daniel had interpreted a dream. And this is what he says. He says, I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we have asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand. You know, yes, the Lord can give you wisdom in your workplace, but be careful to honor the Lord by giving him the glory when he does. When Daniel came back to the king, he said, there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while you were on your bed, and what would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sakes who make known the interpretation to the king, that you may know the thoughts of your heart. Daniel just flat out says, it's not because I'm smarter than everybody else. It is because God has given it to us. He gives all the glory to God. He takes none of it for himself. Here, this man who is so successful, and God had blessed him in so many ways, but you see, this was always part of the equation, is that he would not take the credit. He always gave God the glory. And if we do that, I'm telling you, that honors God. And I'm going to tell you, God will bless you. You know, the scripture makes it clear that God honors those who honor him. Honor God in your workplace. Stand with me. We're going to pray.